the Mark chapter 1.
We'll do the public commenting after the sermon. Haven't forgotten about you, brother. Mark chapter 1, we're going to be reading verses 35 to 45. But we're only going to be looking really at three verses, verses 40 to 42. I'm so thankful that we have this Bible. And so it is our tradition here, if you're able to stand at the reading of God's Word, I invite you to do so as you hear Mark chapter 1, verses 35 to 45, page 1185 in the Bibles provided. People of God, hear ye him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he, that's Jesus, went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him and forthwith sent him away and saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man. But go thy way, show thyself to the priests, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out, and he began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Thus is the reading of God's word. Let's pray. Father, we pray now you will bless the preaching of this word. Bless this word to your people. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, we pray. Teach us from thy holy law. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. What has brought us to Mark chapter 1? We've been brought here on account of the fact that we need to feast on Christ today. We need to look to Jesus. We're going to be going into Genesis. But I don't want to go to this first book of the Bible without having a firm grasp upon Jesus Christ and upon all that he is for us. I want to take breaks often that we may reaffix our eyes upon this mighty King, upon what he can do in people's lives. I want you to remember this as we go through this text. Feast upon Christ. Look upon him. Look upon Jesus in verse 35. You'll see that he is a man of prayer. That he goes away into a solitary place. That he makes sure, even amidst his busy life, where the throngs of the people are entering upon him, that he gets away. Oh, how I need to learn this week. Get into the solitary place and there pray. Feed your soul. Christians, are you going like Jesus to this desert place? This place where you can be alone? And his disciples still wouldn't leave him alone. You see them following after him. You see they have a message for him. People are looking for you. People are seeking after you, Jesus. Notice the heart of Jesus Christ. Look upon Jesus in verse 38. This is the heart of our King. He gets away early to pray because he knows what he must do in the latter day. He must do this. He must preach. He says that I may preach there also. We've been here, disciples, but let's go to that next city over. Because I love those people there. I care for those people in the next city over. And so we're going to go there. And I'm going to preach there also. Because that's the reason, therefore, that's the reason that I came forth from the Father. That I may preach this message. That I may be an ambassador for this great and mighty message that is going to be preached in all the lands. Starting right here in Judea. Starting right here in Capernaum. As he went across Galilee and he preached in verse 39. He preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee. And notice what he did. He cast out devils. I want you to remember this. There's devils in churches. There's devils in synagogues is what we learn here in verse 39. And I'm telling you, young preacher, you're going to be preaching here as a pastor soon. And I'm telling you this, you go out in the churches, do not assume that these are all Christians. There's devils here in this room. There's devils and there's angels. There's angels that worship with us. There's a spiritual battle where demons are coming in to this very room and trying to get you distracted. They're trying to get you not to listen to this word. Because they know if you go to that mighty place of water where you can be cleansed, you will be healed from your leprosy. You'll be healed from your demonic oppression. And so Jesus, with the power of the Holy Spirit, cast out demons. It's an amazing thing that it was at the preached word that this happened. And it's a pattern for all preachers of all times into the future. A casting out that must happen before the grace is given. A giving of the law that it may press out the oppression of demonic hordes. That grace may be filling into the soul. And so we come upon the three verses, boys and girls. I'm going to have C's for you. You can follow along with me with the C's. Each verse, verse 40, 41, and 42. I want you to look and see our Savior. But first, you must see in verse 40, this leper. Look at the condition. There it is, boys and girls. Look at the condition of this leper. Many of you do not know what that is. Because it's not common anymore, especially in this nation. It's a sore that doesn't heal. If you can imagine having a boo-boo, boys and girls, that you look at it and you know, especially you guys, by the time you have your next meal, it starts to heal. Yes. And you get that red skin over it. And then finally a week later, you don't even know it's there. And it's all here. But this leprosy is one where you see the sore and it will not heal. Week after week, it's not only not healing, it's starting to spread. Leprosy was a flesh-eating disease. I looked and I tried to see, is there leprosy today? And there is. In third world countries, there's leprous colonies still. It can be easily treated. Antibiotics. Modern medicine can take care of it like that. But in third world countries where that's not available, they're still afflicted by this. And in Jesus' day, and especially amongst the people of God, amongst the Hebrew people, there was an especial infection of leprosy amongst them. And they had special laws for the leper. They had laws, you can read about them in Leviticus chapter 13, verses 45 and 46. If you found this mark and it wasn't healing, you had a very specific set of rules that you had to do. You watched it, you brought it to the priest and you said, you see, this has not healed and I, according to the law, need to come to you and let you notice it. And the priest would measure it. Next week, he would be seen again by the priest and the priest would measure it. If it had grown, he would send him away and tell him not to leave his house. And then he would come back to the priest again, and the priest would measure. If it's grown again, he would pronounce unto him, thou art unclean. And this was a horrible thing to hear. I want you guys to understand what's happening. When a leper was pronounced as unclean, two things happened. It was a pronouncement of death. I looked at pictures of these leprosy in Indian people in India that had leprosy colonies still, and this ate the flesh in such a way that whole limbs were missing. If it started on the hand, it would eat away at the hand, and you would have only a bone left after several years. If it started on the face, it would eat the flesh away on the face, and I saw pictures where you could see the inside of the neck because of this leprosy upon the skin. It was a death wish. It was a death sentence. You were going to die from leprosy. If you were pronounced, thou art unclean, because you had leprosy, it means you're going to die. But there's something worse than death. It is the other rule that comes with leprosy. You have to be separated. You had to be outside the gate of the city. And there were special places where lepers would live together. I imagine it looked something similar, maybe to where our homeless shelters have a overflow of homeless people, and it looks almost like a war zone, a third world country if you go there. And that's something what it would be like. Only the lepers would live in this certain area and place. And I want you to imagine if you're a family, a father, and you have children and you have a wife, and now the priest has said, thou art unclean. It means you're separated from them. You say bye to your wife. You say bye to your children. I have to dwell outside this city. I got to be separated from you, and there's no chance that I'll be coming back unless I'm healed. Are you starting to see the condition of the leper? I want you to consider this. This is our condition. Leprosy is a sign and an image of sin. It is something which Jesus Christ did not have any discoveries in this age of an ability to heal. That every people would know that when you look at leprosy, you're looking at who you are spiritually. And this is why in Isaiah 61, the Lord Jesus must heal those with leprosy. That we may all know that He is a Savior who can heal the very most disgusting sin that is eating at the soul. The sin which is causing a separation between me and my family, me and my wife, me and my children, but most importantly, me and God, that Jesus can heal it. We're this leper. We are this leper. You must look inside yourself today and see that there's a separation being created by your sin between you and God. God is the one whom all goodness flows from. He is the one who makes life worth living. I've seen the condition of the demonic oppression. I've heard the stories. When I was counseling those especially who were under this oppression, when I was in the reserves and I was acting as like a chaplain, there was the woman who had the knife to her throat. She told me the story of how she knew she must kill herself because she was disgusting. And the molestations that she had received from her youth had followed her, and she was ready to just end it all. There was no hope. The oppression of darkness was around her. As she described this to me, she told me this. I couldn't do it. Something stopped my hand. But I knew, because I started taking substances, I knew that I could do this, that I could overdose and die. I've watched my friends die. They would foam at the mouth and they would die on the floor. We would call and the ambulance would come and we would never see this friend again. I knew I could do it. I popped the pills I laid upon the bed and I knew I was going to die, and I was happy that I was going to die. But then, and Jesus showed in her life. You had a circumstance where everything inside of her wanted destruction. Where demonic oppression told her, jump off the cliff. But instead she dreamt. And she dreamt memories. You see, she went to church as a young lady. There was gospel preaching. And Jesus had those memories come to her mind as she laid about the overdose on a bed. And Jesus had her awake. And that same man who gave the gospel and probably saw no fruit. You're going to see lots of no fruit. There's going to be no fruit when you preach. But then Jesus is going to take that and he's going to use that in some future way that you'll never see. He'll put it into a mind of a woman who's ready to kill herself. And she'll come running back to the only thing. She still had her family Bible. She still had it. She opened it up. She was started sinking because she saw there's something wrong. Everything inside of me wants to die, but something kept me from it. What was it? Because I know it wasn't me. Because I wanted to die. I wanted to slit my throat. I wanted to give myself this overdose. Two times in the military, one outside. In this ministry, I've heard where men, who are much more bold, it seems, than women, when the darkness descended upon them, they wanted to shoot themselves with a gun, and everything inside of them wanted to pull the trigger, but something kept them from pulling the trigger. And Jesus came into their life. And this darkness that was upon them, in their condition in which they had it, was a truly spiritual, leprous condition. Separated from God. Lost in a world where there was nothing but demonic attacks. Satan whispering in the ear. And a life where family relationships are destroyed. Friendships are destroyed because of sin. And when he thought that there was no other answer but destruction, and Jesus came and he heard a sermon. The ones in the military, they found a chaplain. It always seems to be a man of God. Why is that? Because of the same truth of verse 39. If Jesus came into the world to preach, and he preached, and then he sent out apostles to preach, and they preached. So there must be a man sent from Jesus Christ to let the world know that he's still preaching. He still cares about the city over. He still cares about you in your condition as a leper. You're a spiritual leper. It'd be so nice if we could just see it on our bodies. If we could just look and see the disgustingness on our body. That was the problem in Laodicea. They looked outside and they had the cufflinks. They had the jewelry. They had the riches. They had the Lamborghinis. They had everything that a rich person would want. But inside, if it was reflected on the outside, they would have seen something very different. Oh, that you would look inside yourself and see that this leprosy, it has hold of you. It's ready to suffocate you. It's on your neck. It's ready to suffocate you. It's in your head. It's telling you to destroy yourself. It's a demonic oppression. It is a lostness in this world. And this was this leper. I want you to imagine what this leper had to think. The text says that he came to him, to Jesus. But I want you to think how that is not following the rules. Where did they have to be? Apart. separate, outside the city gates. But you see, this leper heard that Jesus was preaching inside the city. And he comes to him and he throws himself on his knees to Jesus Christ. Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. He is not a Savior that takes a step back. He's a Savior that looks and beholds the leper as he comes. He sees the sores. He sees the limbs perhaps missing. He sees, as I perhaps saw, a leper where the eyeball was eaten out and he could only see with one eye. He saw a monster approaching him and he stayed put. And when the man came dangerously close, on his knees, he looked him in the eye. Oh, would you see the condition of the leper? He was beseeching him, the text says in verse 40. Boys and girls, this is a word that's not common today. I want to tell you what it means. It's a fervency. You're like, what does that mean, Pastor? Okay, fervency is where you have something that you need to ask, and you're going to ask it with passion and fervor, because if you don't get an answer, you're going to die. We had someone who was an adherent at this church who had a similar circumstance. I'll tell you a little piece of her story, and you'll understand, boys and girls, what fervency means. She had her throat swollen, and she was coming up to the doctor, and she was in the ER, and the doctor said, "Sign here. If you don't sign here, in 10 minutes, you're going to die." And what do you think she would do? She's beseeching. She's saying, I can't breathe. She's beseeching. She knows. And now she's hearing with her ears, "You're going to die in 10 minutes. You only got 10 minutes. You think she did exactly what she was told to do, and she signed the paper, and she doesn't remember what happened after that, but she lived. Her physical body was able to live. She was fervently in knowing she needed help and asking for help. This is what you need to do. You need to do what the leper did. You need to realize you need to beseech of the Savior. You need to go to Him. And there's a fervency. Some of you think you have time. A lot of young faces here. I want to see more grays. I want more. Shaney was talking about the potential of gray hairs coming. I want to see more gray hairs here. A lot of young faces, you guys think you're invincible. You think you're going to live forever. But I can tell you this. You're not guaranteed tonight. You're not guaranteed the next minute. You're not guaranteed to live to 18, boys and girls. There needs to be a fervency in your soul like this leper. If you realize that this leprosy was in you, that you're a spiritual leper, you would run to Him and you would be on your knees and you would be teaching Him this. What must I do to be saved? What must I do? He kneeled. You see that in the text in verse 40, how he kneeled down to Him. It doesn't seem to be one of worship. It seems to be one of some type of submission that I heard, Jesus, what you preach. I heard how you healed others. You see, Jesus went out casting out demons, healing other lepers. I'm telling you these stories about those who had knives to their throats and guns to their head because they've been healed. And that you can be healed as well, but you got to come to this Savior. You got to fix your eyes upon Jesus Christ. You got to be convinced of something. I want to show you from the text what the leper was convinced of. The leper says with his mouth, "If thou wilt." That is to say this, if you're willing, if you want to, Jesus, thou canst make me clean. If you want to, I know you have the ability and power within you to heal my affliction, to heal my leprosy. This condition which this leper was in is a condition that may be better than many of you. Many of you might not realize you're a leper. Many of you might not realize that you have spiritual leprosy. But this leper was in a better condition than most other lepers because he knew that Jesus was able. Jesus had the power. He was not like Sarah. Sarah who laughed. She said, "Will Jesus, will God make me a mother?" Who is an old woman who's far past the years of bearing children. Is he really able to do that? Yeah, okay. Not like Sarah. There instead was in this leper a spirit of Jeremiah 32:17. There's nothing, it says, the Holy Spirit said, there is nothing too hard for thee. Oh God, there's nothing too hard for you. You can do anything. You have all the power. And Jesus is the God-man. Oh, He is God and He can do all things. He is able to take away my spiritual leprosy. Are you coming to Jesus today? Or do you realize that you have spiritual leprosy? I'm a Christian, Pastor. I know you say you're a Christian. I'm not asking you to doubt it. Some Christians struggle with sin, and it could be the death of them. Think about David. What happened to David? David, Christian David, a murderer. Murdered as a Christian. Christian David. He is someone who went into adultery as a Christian with Bathsheba. God redeemed this, but I want to show you, if you're in sin today as a Christian, yes, it's true that all the elect cannot lose their salvation, but I can tell you this, if you have some secret sin today and you're calling yourself a Christian, you need to be very careful, because you can only know your elect from your fruit. And if your fruit is not one of confession, it's not one of what happened with David, who was elect and a Christian who was sinning, you need to ask yourself whether you fooled yourself. Psalm 51 says this, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." Are you troubled by your sin? Are you acknowledging and confessing your sin? Or do you don't want to think about it? You don't want to put it in your mind? You're too academic to think about those things. You rather think about more titillating things. Things that make the mind entertained. You don't want to think about your sin. That makes you depressed. Who wants to be unhappy? The Christian wants to acknowledge sin. That in their unhappiness of having their sin ever before them, they run to the only one who can truly make them happy. I want you to look. I want you to look at Jesus. This is so powerful. What happens to this leper? I want you to see it for yourself. And Jesus. I love the beginning of verse 41. I live at the beginning of verse 41. When I sin, because I'm a Christian and I sin. When I sin, I have to go and I have to say, "And Jesus died for my sin. And Jesus rose again for my justification. My sin is ever before me, but Jesus has covered it with His blood." And Jesus. He doesn't run from this leper. He even does more. Look at verse 41. Look at the compassion. Boys and girls, that's the second C. Look at the compassion of Jesus Christ. He's moved with compassion. His insides was not turned away from the ugliness of the leper. The monster that was before him, the fear of contagion was not in him. This is what was in Jesus. It was compassion. And some of us here today, when we look at the leprosy in me, some of you are very sensitive to that. I hear from you how you feel your sin and you see it and it's so clear to you and it haunts you and it troubles you. But I'm telling you, look at Jesus. He goes to this leper and he's moved with compassion. He doesn't look at you as a monster. You're seeing yourself as a monster, granted. In some sense, you shall. But now for a second, I'm asking you to step into what Jesus sees. He sees a leper who is in need of great help and cleansing, and what he feels. You get a sight. There's a window right now, just as clear as this window, perhaps more into the soul of Jesus Christ. Look through the window of the soul of Jesus, and what do you see in verse 41? He's moved. He loves you. He sees your sin and your leprosy, and he says, we're not going to get to what he says yet. We need to look at what he does. Because this verse not only gives you a view into his soul, you start to see that from the very soul and the mind of Jesus, his body acts in a certain way, and his body tells us something. It tells us something about this wonderful Savior. It tells us he's not only having this bowels of compassion. When he looks on you, when he looks on you, sinner, something in Jesus' stomach, it moves. At the right hand of the Father, there's something moving for you. He sees what you are, what you've done, and he's moved. And it has caused him, in verse 41, to outstretch his hand. I want you to think what's happening here. I want you to think what's happening in the mind of the leper. The leper's thinking, oh, he's on his knees, remember. He's saying, oh, if he touches me, he could get it. He could get the leprosy. And this is against the law. He's going to break the law. Because doesn't the law says I have to be separate, but now I'm here? Is it okay that he's about to do what he's about to do? He's outstretching his arm. Can you imagine how confused as the leper is trying to take all the things he's learned from the Bible and everything else, and he's trying to make sense of what Jesus is doing? It makes no sense. And what does Jesus do? He outstretches his arm and he touches the dirty monster of a man. Think about the compassion that took. Think about the compassion it took to touch something which is repulsive to society, which should remain separate from society, which should have endangered him, but yet he touches him. There's a power in physical touch. We're learning in our society what it means not to have that. We're feeling what it means not to have that. And it's hard. I know it's hard. But one way to get through this is to look at this text in verse 41 and to know that Jesus Christ touched the leper and he can touch you. He's giving us physical elements by which we may with our faith touch him. We can touch his blood. We can touch his body. And he is touching us. And it's an amazing thing that he would touch us. When you see a hand outstretched coming towards you, it's something where you not only see compassion, but you see an offer as well. We do this commonly in our own society. You go like this, or like this maybe nowadays, and we know that the person wants to touch us. We know that there wants to be something. There's an offer in this. There's an offer in this. I want to greet you with my touch because I have a care for you. That's what it means. And that's what the leper was feeling as Jesus was outstretching his arm. It was not only a care and compassion. It was an offer. It was the receive of my touch. Because you see, the leper could have backed up. The leper should have said, no, you don't want to touch me. I am a disgusting leper. You don't want to touch me. And many of us are like that today. We look at Jesus, and he has outstretched his arm time and time again, saying, believe on me, be mine, come to me, embrace me, feel me, put your head upon my heart and feel in your ears, hear in your ears how I move for you. And this outstretched arm is something where we say, you know what, I'm too disgusting. I've sinned too bad. My sins have been too bad. You can't touch me. I'm too dirty. But Jesus says, I'm going to touch you. Because it's only by my touching you, it's only by you taking this offer of me outreaching towards you and receiving it as your own, that you can be cleansed, that you can be saved. And so he touches this magnificent offer. He touches this leper, but it doesn't stop with the gesture. It doesn't stop with the soul being moved. It doesn't stop with the touch. He speaks. And you need to set your eyes upon Jesus Christ here in this text. Look at verse 41 again. What does he say? He says, I will. He says, I will. Think about what that means. The one thing holding back the cleansing power upon the leper, and the leper knew it because he knew Jesus was able. The one thing holding it back was the uncertainty in the leper himself whether Jesus was willing to do it. Oh, would you hear this? Jesus Christ is willing to hear you, to hear your beseeching, to hear your pleadings, to hear your prayers, and he is willing to heal you as well. Do you see the compassion of our Lord Jesus Christ? That he is saying to you today, he's saying to you through the preaching of this wonderful gospel, that he is willing to heal you, heal your sins, heal all that is wrong, to help you conquer your sin, to help you be thou clean. There's some that would say that there isn't a willingness for everyone. There's some that would say there's not a free offer of the gospel to everyone. But I'm standing here today to tell you that we know that there must be, because of verse 41. Jesus is willing, just as he was willing to override the will of those who want to destroy themselves. Something that stopped them from pulling that trigger or stopped them from letting loose with the knife. So there is an overriding power of the Holy Spirit upon those who receive Jesus. They are made clean against everything inside of them. Everything inside of them from their father Adam says, I don't want to be clean. I don't want to give up my sin. And you struggle with that. I know you struggle with that. I hear you. I'm not telling you to conclude you're not a Christian because of this. I'm concluding for you this, that Jesus is telling you he's willing to conquer that sin in your life. He's willing to take it from you, to make it his burden, so that your burden is light and easy. Hebrews 4:15 says that it was necessary for Jesus Christ to become man, that he may have a feeling, that he may be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. That great vow of compassion is him knowing what you're going through, knowing of the weakness of your nature, and he says, I will make you clean. But do you believe him? Do you believe that he's laid down his life for you? Do you really believe in the gospel today? Yes, Pastor, I'm a Christian. Great. Then start enacting your faith towards your life's actions. Start receiving the blood of Jesus to conquer sin in your life. Start knowing that this blood is so powerful that it will, like a deluge, take over the world. The gospel is going out, and by the power of the preaching of the word, it will conquer not only sins, but sinners. It will take those not willing to receive Christ, and it will crush them like a deluge does, and those who are willing will be cleansed. The same power of the floods that destroys will be the flood which cleanses. The flood of the blood of Jesus Christ. He is treading in the winepress, and the blood is getting higher and higher to the bridle of the horses. He is able to succor them, however, that are tempted. He's able to come alongside of you during those difficult times and to flee Satan away when you oppose him, to give you the strength to build the walls that Satan may not get over top. He is willing to save you, sinner. He's willing to conquer your sins, Christians. He is willing to bring you to the next tier of glory. From glory to glory is what you are predestined to achieve. Matthew 9:36 says, Jesus was moved with compassion for a whole multitude because they were as sheep having no shepherd. Christian, you have a shepherd. Christian, he will lead you beside the still waters. Christian, he will give you peace. Christian, he will give you what you need for sustenance. He will bring you beside green pastures. He is your shepherd. Do you see that he is willing? In verse 41, do you see that when Jesus is coming into your life, when Jesus is added to your sin life, when he has light cast upon your secret places, there's this power of certainty, knowing that he will make you clean. And so we go to verse 42, and boys and girls, we see the cleansing. The cleansing power of the word. The cleansing power of the word. I want to tell you a little bit about this. How Jesus Christ has made his word to be powerful. We see it in story form, in scripture example form in verse 42. But I want to tell you some of it doctrinally as well. You see, the word of God is made effectual. It works powerfully in sinners. Preaching does for the enlightening of the mind. You have a dirty, disgusting, leprous mind. Preaching will cleanse it. You have a need for convincing and humbling. We all have the great monster of pride within us. Preaching the word of Jesus Christ goes and it rips it out of the heart. You have, you see, a driving out of yourself. There's a selfishness. Where, for whatever reason, part of the fall is that we've turned totally inward. We were created to be glorifiers of God. Enjoyers of God. That which is outside of us. And the fall calls us to go inside of ourselves. And we're happy to be alone. We're happy to be by ourselves. There's a selfishness that has been created. And the power of the Word of God goes out. And it makes us go out of ourselves. And care about others, have compassion about others, and desire the good of others, but most importantly, to glorify God. That's the power of how the word is made effectual unto salvation. This comes from the larger catechism, 155. You can see all the examples in the scriptures. You can see that this is true, but most importantly, if you're a Christian today, you can look back of yourself 10 years ago and you know it's true. You can point and you can say, oh, how selfish I was. And you can look at yourself now and you can say, there's still some seeds of that selfishness. But I'm starting to rip it out. The Word of God is driving them out of themselves. It's drawing them out of themselves and to another, to Jesus Christ. This is how the word is made effectual to salvation, conforms you to the image of Christ. Christ, if he wanted to keep all glory with the Father and not have to go into a state of humiliation, he just would have stayed in heaven. But what did Jesus do? He was drawn out from that glory and he went into this world and he was the epitome of selflessness, because it was for sinners that were like this leper. Sinners that were monstrous in all that they were, separated from God and could not approach him in any way. So he had to go out. And he did. He is now conforming us into his image to be selfless. He's subduing our wills. For some of us, he's overriding it, because our wills are wills of demons to destroy ourselves. And there's a strengthening that he's giving us by his word, by which we may no longer give in to the devil. There's something I want you to see of this cleansing power of the word as it comes from the mouth of Jesus Christ in this text. It's this: as soon as he had spoken, there's an immediacy. It even says it. Immediately, something happened. I'm telling you, when you're born again, there's something that happens to you that's immediate. There's some sin that you're immediately freed from, and there's some which takes more time. And I understand that. But you need to know of the immediate power of this converting power of the Word of God, this cleansing power which comes forth. It's immediate. Jesus spoke to the woman who would admit she was the dog. And Jesus even said, the dog does not eat of the children's food. And she said, yes, but the dog does eat of the children's crumbs. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, immediately, your faith has healed your daughter, for which she was approaching Jesus for. It's amazing that the Lord Jesus has an immediate power attached to his converting power of his word. There's something else you must see from the text. Not only is there immediacy, but notice what it says. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from the leper. There was a departure. Sin departs. Sin cannot coexist with the cleansing power of the word. Wherever the word goes and rests upon your soul, sin will not remain. If you are in secret sin today, if there's sins in your heart that you're struggling with, I'm telling you this, it's because the light of the word has not rested there. You're not believing the gospel there. You still have an application of the gospel to that part of you. And you must get at the word. Get at the light. Because it's the light, when it rests there, that will flee away the darkness. Just as we're going to read about soon in Genesis chapter 1. Remember Lot's wife. Remember her. She said she was going with her husband. She said she was a Christian. And what happened? She looked back. She was turned into a pillar of salt. You, Christian, could be like Lot's wife if you have not allowed the gospel to enter into your soul and to light upon every part of it. The secret things will eat you alive. You'll be like a pillar of salt. Remember Lot's wife. When the power of the word, the cleansing power of the word comes, there's not only an immediate effect, there's also a departure of sin. If you were intellectually convinced, your sin will remain. And you will still be enslaved. But if there is a Holy Spirit born again, converting, cleansing power of the word, sin flees like darkness from the light. There's a third thing to see here with this cleansing in verse 42. And it is the last three words. He, the leper, was cleansed. You see, not only does sin depart, but there's a healing. What do you think the leprous man What do you think would have happened if the Lord Jesus just healed the leprosy in this sense? Just departing the leprosy away. Departing away the encroaching eating of the leprosy, this bacterial infection of the skin. If he just stopped it, he would still have the holes. He would still have the sores that have not yet been healed. You see, there's a double work of the cleansing power of the word. Not only does sin depart, but there's healing. John 15, verse 3 says, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Jesus is talking to his disciples, and it's true for us by good and necessary consequence as well, that this healing power through the word which Jesus has spoken must happen. You must not remain with the sores. You must not remain with the holes. You must not remain with your eyeballs missing and your limbs detached. There must be a healing, a restoration, a regrowing of yourself unto holiness. Do you realize that Jesus died for sinners, rose again for them to be declared righteous before the great judgment seat of the Father, but he also died not only for their justification, but also for their sanctification, also for their being made holy, that they may be a testimony to the world of the cleansing power of the Word. If you're a Christian today and you're struggling with a departing of sin, know this. Jesus will touch you and he'll speak to you and he will say, "I am yours. I will help you. Your faith, I pray for you." And your faith will overcome. And once it's overcome, I want you to strengthen those who are struggling with this same sin. Because I'm going to have this sin depart. I'm going to have this healing occur that you may help others. That you may be dragged outside of yourself by the effectual working of the Word of God unto salvation. You have a work not only to do in yourself. Stop being selfish. It's not just a work in yourself. It's a work to do outside yourself as well. We can become so pious, we're the most holy, and forget that we need to spend just as much time in ourselves as outside ourselves in others. What are you doing to help the sanctification of others today? How are you praying for them, Christian? How are you reaching out to them, saints? They need your help. I tell you, the touch which this leper felt from Jesus Christ will be felt by many by your touch. You are the hands of Jesus Christ. You are the hands to let people know that he cares, that he has a word that has this power. Do you have it in your mind to use? Are you committing it to memory? Do you know where to look to help other souls? It's not the job of the pastor only. It's not the job of the elder only. Not the job of the deacon only. It's the job of every saint to help other saints. And to help sinners unto justification. To help saints unto sanctification and holiness. Jesus died to make a beautiful bride. A beautiful bride. Are you beautiful? Do you know this gospel? Jesus makes you beautiful. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And this payment due unto our sins, as we heard in Sabbath school, against an infinite God, requires an infinite wrath and punishment. And Jesus commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. And Jesus says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth me, Jesus, thou shalt be saved." Are you a person who has been healed? Are you a person where sin has departed? Are you a person striving after holiness? This is what this text calls you to. This text calls you to look at your condition, to go to Him who is compassionate, and to receive of His cleansing power, word. Hear the words of Jesus one more time. I will be thou clean. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we praise you that you have given us such a beautiful Savior. A Savior who is willing to save the most disgusting sinner. A Savior who is willing to improve the most disgusting Christian, to make them more like Him, to conform them unto His image. Make us saints who are helping others. Make us saints who are producing an edification, a building up of the kingdom, seeking first the kingdom of God in all of our relationships of life. What a fitting thought to have as we transition to this public covenant. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for your compassion and the moving of your bowels for us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.